as we welcome in Richard Hebert, Hebert's Garden Center. Hunter also on mic. If you got any questions, don't hesitate to jump in. But, Richard, good to see you again.
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Looks like spring is here, huh?
Back again.
Son of a gun, man. It's
nice,
unbelievable.
Nice to have a little relief from the rain, too.
Boy, you're right. It's just nice to see the sun. But, boy, in combination with these cooler temperatures, it's really nice.
Yeah, I had talked to a gentleman yesterday, the day before. He was, like, trying to cut his grass, and I said, you know, Wednesday, maybe for sure Thursday, a couple of days of north winds should dry things out a little bit.
I think it will, and it just feels good. The humidity is just not obviously as high as it normally would be, and so it's very comfortable.
No doubt. So what is it you have brought to the table?
Well,
today?
I'm going to talk. My main subject today is going to be crepe myrtles, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. I want to touch on some of the issues that are occurring in the landscape, and one is on the tomatoes themselves. We're starting to see a lot of worms that are actually getting into the fruit itself, and it's very easy to see that. You actually see the holes in a small pin lag, maybe a little bit bigger than a pin head maybe, and they get in the tomato and they kind of ruin it. And so you want to kind of watch for that. There's some insecticides that are very, very organic and safe that are very good that you could spray, you know, the day of harvest. That'll work, and so look out for that. You know, we got a call this morning, you know, concerned about, you know, when should I pick my tomatoes? You know, my husband says we're going to pick them when they just start to change colors. I want to leave them on until they're red. And, you know, there's no, I guess, wrong answer or right answer to that, except this. I guess ideally if you could...
The longer they're on the vine, the bigger risk, right?
The risk, exactly. The risk is there. And so that's the thing, is that, you know, you can, there's potential blossom end rot. There's a potential of a bird getting in there. There's a potential of a worm getting there. So that's the kind of the issue. They're going to ripen on their own. You know, ideally, you'd let them stay on and really turn red and soft. That would be ideal. But you're right on it, Jeff. The risk sometimes will outweigh the reward. So generally, at this time of year, with the insect population as being as high and with the fungus and the blossom end rot, you know, once they start to change colors, birds will also get them, you know. And so, you know, you want to harvest them, and they will ripen and be fine. And so I guess the short answer is harvest them when they just start to change colors, and that way you will avoid the future risk.
You know, is a green tomato just a not fully ripened red tomato, or are there actual green tomatoes?
They're actual green tomatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, because a green tomato, most of them, depending on, you know, if the stem end has started to turn brown, it will turn red, whereas the green tomato will remain green.
Okay. And you know that when you buy them.
Well, yeah, they're usually labeled. It's very seldom you're going to see these green. You know, they won't sell. If you're looking for a red tomato, they're not going to sell green. They may sell with the red blush or, you know, slightly pinkish or whatever, but you're not going to find them fully green.
Gotcha.
Other than the green tomato itself, we're starting to see. You know, we talked about this last week, and just watch for those side webworms. Again, issues out there. We're starting to see browning and the moths. So just kind of look for it. A lot of people haven't been able to get into the grass because of the rainfall. So you may not be seeing them, but if you go out and cut the grass the next few days, kind of look for those signs. And the signs would be these little moths flying around as you cut. And or actually browning of the grass. Now, we're starting to see some gray leaf spot on the lawn, and that's because of the amount of moisture, and it's really weird. Actually, someone called in, Jeff, and said that they'd call the police because they thought some kid had gone and spray-painted the lawn with these gray streaks, all right? And so when they looked at it more closely, they realized that it wasn't spray paint. And actually, if you hit the leaf, the little spores will puff out, and that's easily controlled, and hopefully with this temperature change and the drying out, that will maybe self-control it. But look for that; it's out there. We had a bunch of people come in for that, and there's other issues again with the rainfall when it comes to the vegetables. I know I sound like a broken record, but when it comes to the vegetables, you know, fungus is going to be an issue whether you see it or you don't. So you know, be proactive as opposed to insects. Insects, we generally tell people to wait for the signs of it, and once you see it, catch it fast, catch it early. Fungus is you want to be proactive and kind of spray, you know, before you see the problems. But because of the rainfall, we're going to see issues, and that's just the way it is. So kind of do a lot of prevention, and that'll help you out.
All righty.
Okay. Switching to crepe myrtles. Crepe myrtles are just starting to bloom in terms of their time period, which is all summer long. And they do really, really well. In terms of trees, it's one of the more popular trees that are planted in the South. And that's mainly because they give you a lot of color. They're a very pretty plant, extremely hardy in terms of it can – you know, normally, Jeff, when we say, like, you need to dig a tree, you really don't want to start digging trees and transplanting and moving them until the fall and winter. Crepe myrtle is, I mean, you still got to help it along, but it's pretty darn resilient. You could dig a crepe myrtle up, cut it back, and plant it, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to survive. It's just a tough, tough, hardy plant. It can take as much cold as we'll ever get down here, so you don't have to worry about freezes, right. And you don't have to worry about protection and all that. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of the do's and don'ts with crepe myrtles and maybe some of the varietal differences that we have. You know, a couple weeks ago, you talked to me about, you know,
some varieties blooming earlier than others.
That's right. And you do have early season bloomers, mid season, and late season. And the season we're talking about is summer. So early summer, mid summer, late summer. So if you have one that's not blooming, we'll talk about a little bit in a second, maybe why they're not blooming. But it could be just a varietal difference. They should be start showing buds at this point, though, and they should start to bloom. If they're not, then maybe some other issues. They're also, what many people don't realize is that with crepe myrtles, you can buy a crepe myrtle that only get, you know, 3 to 4 feet tall, you know, 5 to 8 feet tall, 8 to 12 feet tall, 12 to 20, and 20 to 30. So they have a variety of differences in terms of height. And so kind of remember that, because a lot of people will hesitate because they remember, you know, as a kid, oh, yeah, we had a crepe myrtle in our front yard. It was 30 feet tall. And so they think that that's the only option, and so they don't want something, you know, close to the house that's going to get that big. Well, just remember, you do have other options, and it's just amazing how they've been formulated. You know,
and
you
colors, too.
And the colors also. Wide variety of colors, you know, anywhere from, you know, white to deep red to lavender to purple and to in-betweens. And Jeff, even now, when it comes to colors, there are also leaf color changes now. There's actually some that the leaves are burgundy, dark, dark burgundy. And those are beautiful, especially when you see them in combination of the white flower and these, I mean, dark, dark leaves. It really makes a pretty show and very unique and different. So you have a wide variety of heights, colors, and color leaves. And there's actually even a different varieties that will grow more upright, some are more weeping. So a lot of options when it comes to crepe myrtles. And the biggest thing is location. And when it comes to crepe myrtles, you want a location that has a lot of sun, because if you put it in a situation where it's shady, many times you're going to have more of the issues that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So a lot of sun, preferably good airflow, meaning that you don't want to put it in a corner that maybe, you know, you just don't get a lot of wind movement, and maybe when it just stays, when it rains, it stays wet. The leaves stay wetter than longer. So although they're very hardy, it's not going to kill them. You know, nothing we're talking about is going to kill them. You say, oh, plant them in the shade, it's going to die, or plant them in a situation where you won't have good airflow. That won't kill the plant. It's just the performance won't be as good, and you're going to have more issues, you know, as we come in and talk about it.
And if you're planting multiples, you want to space them.
Yeah, and again, the spacing would depend on the tree. But, you know, roughly, I generally tell people when it comes to crepe myrtles, you want to plant in a situation where it's easy to maintain it in between. Now, you could put them in a complete bed where there's mulch surrounding all three. And in that situation, again, depending, I mean, if you're planting a 3 or 4 foot crepe myrtle, obviously you can plant really close. But let's say, assuming it's, you know, a 10 foot crepe myrtle above, you want to get a good 12 feet in between them. And that's for a lot of reasons. If it's going to be, you want to be able to cut in between. If you're not making a bed, easy maintenance. You want to be able to cut around it. And the same reason we talked about with the airflow, if you jam them all together, those branches will grow together and cause wind resistance, and therefore will stay wetter. And, again, you'll have insect and fungus issues that maybe some people will not. And some of the issues, and we're having them right now, is one is called powdery mildew. And it's pretty much it has this powdery white substance that's on the leaf, and that will affect the blooming of the plant. So, and we're starting to see that now, and that's in direct correlation with the amount of rain we've been getting and the humidity. And it also could be a variety less resistant with certain varieties, or it could be what we talked about, the location of it. Maybe it's in a shady spot. Maybe it's where it's near the house or near a bunch of bushes. That will cause the leaves to stay wetter longer and therefore get this white powdery substance. Another one that we just saw someone bring in today is anthracnose. It's a fungus that the leaves will actually kind of turn a yellow to reddish tint to it and have these black spots all in there. The correlation is exactly the same: humidity, rainfall, airflow, variety, and that's a fungus, and you want to spray for that to keep it clean. Some people may not have seen any of see the powdery mildew, other anthracnose, and that could be directly due to variety or location. Sun, good airflow, you may not get it at all. So, but you want to be aware of that. The more common one that we see when it comes to crepe myrtles, and it's misdiagnosed many times, is the sooty mold, which is that black stuff that's on the leaf, and people look at it black and think it's a fungus because they'll wipe it. It actually comes off, and I guess technically it's what you're seeing on the thing is the side effects of the bug, and what's happening is the insects, and it could be a combination of scale and aphids, their droppings are falling on the next leaf, and their droppings will actually turn into a mold or a black sooty mold. And so in order to keep the sooty mold from coming back, you got to kill the bug. And there's several ways to go about it. Over the last few years, they've come out with a product that you actually drench at the base of the tree, which is wonderful. It'll keep them clean. You may have to do it twice depending on how much problems you've had in the past, but it's a great preventative. You just drench. You don't have to spray the tree. You just pour this chemical underneath the tree. It goes into the plant, and when the bugs bite the leaf, it kills them. So you don't have the problem with the sooty mold. Otherwise, you got to get in there and spray. And for crepe myrtles, that can sometimes be an issue because many of them get really, really big, and it's just hard to do. So kind of keep that in mind. There is also a relatively new insect called bark scale. It's just kind of it looks like little bumps all over the crepe myrtle. I have not seen it, located here, but it is a problem, and that's the one thing that could potentially kill a crepe myrtle. But again, it's relatively new, 4, 5, 6 years old. I've never seen it in this area, but I just want to make sure that the listeners may be aware of that. And then when it comes to crepe myrtle's maintenance in the wintertime, that's when you want to prune it. And, a lot of people want to come in and prune crepe myrtles maybe kind of like you do in azalea right after they bloom or right after they sprout in the spring. And really, you don't want to do that. And that's one reason why you would not have proper blooming in the spring is if once they start to sprout with the new growth, that's what's going to make the flowers. So if you cut that back, you're going to either eliminate all blooming or certainly hamper the amount of flowers you're going to get. So you want to do this in late December, January, when there's no leaves, when it's cool. We kind of talked about pruning, but fundamentally you're just trying to get rid of a lot of the spindly wood within the tree to give it a good, clean airflow and not mess with the with the sculptured look of the tree. And we talk about the crepe myrtle where they come and just cut it to a ball, and people say, "Oh, I do that all the time, my tree does great." It does. It won't. You can't kill a crepe myrtle, but it does affect the aesthetic look of the balance of the tree and how it looks. But it is important to get in there and prune a lot of that spindly wood. Now, technically, if you, from a horticultural standpoint, if you take off all the old buds after they bloom, like in the summer, and you clip all those old buds off, it'll help you with your next bloom this summer bloom again really, really good. That's easier said than done. It depends on the height of the tree. If the tree is 8 feet tall, well, it's probably doable. If the tree is 20 feet tall, it's really hard to do, and I don't think it's worth the effort. It's going to bloom again. Granted, you'll get more blooms and sooner blooms if you cut those seeds off, those little pods that get, you cut them off. But you, at some point, you got to look at the practicality of it and whether or not you want to do that or not. So kind of keep that in mind. We talked about, what would cause a crepe myrtle not to bloom. Improper pruning is one of them. We just talked about that. Too much shade. If you get a crepe myrtle that's in excessive shade, it's going to live. It's going to grow. It's going to be spindly, and you won't get the flowers.
It'll leaf though.
It'll leaf, and yeah. It'll just look weaker. It looks like it's stretched out more, and that is, you just don't want to plant a crepe myrtle under an oak tree. Sometimes you see that. The sooty mold problems, the more bugsy problems, if you don't take care of the, whether it be the sooty mold or the fungus issues, that's going to cause an issue. Lack of fertilization could also be that. And usually I see that when it's competing with a tree. And I have to be specific when I talk to my customers in that they'll say, no, it's in the wide open sun. And I said, okay. I said, but where's the nearest tree? Oh, I have an oak tree that's 30 feet away, but it's not covering it at all. But the roots are there. Mm. And so that competition, you're right, that tree's getting the sun, but that oak tree is taking a lot of water and nutrients away from it. So maybe in that situation, you want to fertilize it a little bit more and until you get to bloom. Really, in general, crepe myrtles don't need a lot of fertilization in general. You fertilize them once in the spring, and that's really all you need to do. But if you are having problems, that may be one of the issues in that it's the competition that's causing that problem. And competition is something you want to look at. If you plant, and this is true with anything, and we see it a lot with fruit trees like citrus, which if you plant a crepe myrtle that should be 12 feet apart or 20 feet apart, depending on the size, and you're planting these things 6 feet apart, they're basically competing with one another, and so therefore none of them do well. So kind of keep that in mind in terms of spacing between the trees or other trees near it, and we see that a lot with citrus where, citrus 12, 15 feet is where you want to be, and, when you buy these trees, Jeff, they're 5 or 6 feet tall, so you say, okay, it's 5 or 6 feet, I'm going to plant 1 6 feet away. Problem is, as we all know, they're going to get big, and now they're competing with one another for water, nutrients, sun, and all that, and therefore neither one of them reach their potential like they should. And that's, that's kind of the long and short of it. But the crepe myrtle is all blooming really, really well now. Just look for insect problems on them. That's the big one that we start to see lately, as well as the lawns and as well as the vegetables.
Notice the blooms with all the rain. Maybe we lost a few blooms. Those will come back, though.
Yeah, they will. Remember, with crepe myrtles, you're usually going to get two bloom cycles out of them. You can't hardly see it because they'll come right after one another. They're going to come back. And I guess the only difference, Jeff, you'll see the ones that are blooming early in the summer will finish up earlier at the end of the summer, and the ones that bloom mid to late summer will last longer. But we're in the middle of it. They're not going to finish anytime soon.
You notice on crepe myrtles, they kind of lose their bark. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's one I forgot to mention is that the bark is also something that's very unique and pretty about crepe myrtles. And as they age, especially if they're pruned correctly, and you allow those branches to get bigger and have a showy bark, they will just by nature have a beautiful, unique color and texture. Some are more exfoliating than others, meaning the bark appears to be peeling, and that gives it a real unique look. And that's the other big reason why, we carry on about how to prune these things, is that if you're just topping it off, you're going to lose that potential of these the branching being so pretty when it comes to the branching itself and the bark too. And so a lot of people see this peeling of the bark and they're worried about it, and but actually that's a normal. They'll peel it off. Some do it more than others. I guess one of the biggest ones that I love is one called a Natchez, which is a white weeping crepe myrtle. And, you know, if you've ever seen one 20 years old that's been pruned correctly, they're gorgeous. I mean, just even in the wintertime, they look beautiful because of that weeping nature and the exfoliating bark. And you know, handled correctly, crepe myrtle is a very fine, easy-to-grow plant.
And they tend to hold their leaves fairly long. It's a very short period of time where they're leafless.
Yeah, I guess it's not like a pecan where it's going to be one of the latest things to bloom in the spring. You're right. They'll bloom relatively, depending on weather, early March, somewhere in there. And you're right. They'll hold on to their leaves, usually till we get a good cold snap. You know, they'll start to thin out pretty good. But again, you know, if pruned correctly, and I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but if pruned correctly, the crepe myrtle can be a gorgeous tree with not a leaf on it.
Yeah. And again, it is. It's a reasonably looking tree without the leaves.
Right.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
Seems everywhere we've been in our stages of office, we've always been surrounded by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. Love it. Anything else?
I think that's it, Jeff. I'm going around outside and play football, I guess. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Beautiful. Anyway, again, we'll remind folks, Hebert's Garden Center, they're at the corner of Hopkins and West St. Peter, 6 days a week these days, right?
That's right.
All right, man. Appreciate it as always. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Jeff.